Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Okay, greetings and welcome, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson. Welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like yourself who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go on to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn more about how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com. Under the Programs and Products tab, click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get started. And you will be able to get your story out there and hopefully may have an impact to make some money off of it as well. So are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Today I have joining me Dr. Richard Rohl Jr. Let's give him a round of applause. Doc, what's going on, man?
I'm good. I'm honored to be on the show and, offer my insight and my story and everything. So I'm looking forward to the experience.
Hey, I'm glad you're here with us. And, we found out that even in this short time of connecting with each other, we have ample connections from college teammates to even crossing paths back in college. And we didn't even know it when he was at Notre Dame and I was at the University of Minnesota. So this is a special interview for me. So I'm really thankful for your time and, man, looking forward to growing and connecting with you beyond this as well.
Absolutely. Likewise.
So Dr. Richard Rohl is one of the top surgeons in the nation, man. Any things happening here that we should know about before we jump into the story?
Yeah. So my name is Dr. Richard Rohl Jr. of Rohl Oral and Facial Surgery. Go to rohloralfacialsurgery.com or call 704-892-9500. But I'm an oral and facial surgeon right outside of Charlotte and Lake Norman area. Had affiliations with the different teams at one point in time, but in private practice, specializing in oral facial surgery, including things such as wisdom teeth extractions, dental implants, and facial rejuvenation, and also working in the hospital with some of the bigger cases.
Man, that's awesome, man. And kudos to you for the success that you've had as an oral surgeon and the work you're doing as well. So Dr. Rohl, on this podcast, we love showcasing stories of individuals who have overcome obstacles because we have an audience out there of very enlightened and inspired individuals who want to hear stories and get knowledge and glean knowledge that they can use for themselves or people around them to go on to overcome obstacles. So I'm gonna start with our first question. The first question is, what has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in your life, whether it be personally or professionally? What's been a big obstacle you've had to overcome?
Well, several things have helped guide me and led me down the path that I'm on currently. But I would say the biggest challenge that I had to overcome was being diagnosed with cancer while playing football at Notre Dame.
Wow.
Football is year round. And, yes. I was registered my freshman year, played a little bit more in my sophomore, junior year. But then my senior year, I was going to get my master's and come back for a fifth. Is when I started to experience sharp abdominal pain and led me down a path I didn't anticipate what I'd be faced with, but had a hard diagnosis and was able to, face that with God and get through it. But that was definitely life-changing.
Wow. You know, and thank you so much for sharing that, and for being an overcomer. Oftentimes we hear a lot about individuals who have endured cancer and beat it. As you were going through it, man, what were the feelings that you had when you first heard about that diagnosis? What did you feel?
Well, it was kind of a shock, to be perfectly honest. You play at that level and beyond, you're in optimal shape. And I was real skinny and fast. Coach played for Lou Holtz. And he said I ran like a deer, in fact, but the pain that I experienced started in January of 95, and I ignored it. I was having a good spring, and in the spring game, the blue goal game, I was returning a punt. I never really took a lot of big hits, so I was skinny. I was elusive, too. So one of the guys missed a block. I got hit in my abdomen. I couldn't move. The team doctor on the field felt a lump in my abdomen, and they told me forget finals, forget everything. They flew me back home to Minneapolis from there to Mayo Clinic. And that's why I received the diagnosis. The initial diagnosis was actually a more aggressive form of cancer that they thought. But upon further testing, although it was aggressive, they were said they was able to be treated, but it was near some of my vital anatomical structure. So it's a 12-hour operation. They have the male thing and several surgeons, some of the top surgeons in the world. The night of the surgery, I was fine, but the next night, I remember having difficulty breathing, and the nurse found me. I had atelectasis. My lung had collapsed.
Wow.
So I had to be intubated. It's in the ICU for a week, the male clinic for a month. So it was a tremendous shock. I told my coach I would be back, but I knew that it was a very serious situation.
Wow.
And subsequent to the surgery, I had to go through chemotherapy. And in order to keep my mind off of how sick I was, I was also a pre-med major. There's only three of us Latino were pre-med.
Wow.
In the class at the time, the two hot top professions at the time were people want to be doctors and lawyers from the Cosby Show and everything. So one of the classes that they would use to weed people off from being pre-med was organic chemistry.
Wow.
Really not applicable, to be perfectly honest, but it was a way to kind of weed people out. So I took organic chemistry while I was undergoing chemo.
Wow.
I'll never forget, I had a port in my arm receiving the IV chemo treatments, lost about 50 pounds. Even when my mom made my favorite meals, everything tastes like metal. I lost the hair and everything, and it affects your whole GI tract. Cells that grow and divide faster in your body, it affected all that because it's aggressive treatment towards cancer. But I remember even with my organic chemistry experiments, having to sit on a stool to even be able to sit there to do all that and just feeling real weak and sick. But the surgery itself was May 19 of 95. And then, I was determined to get back on campus and get things back on track. But that was probably the hardest time of my life going through that situation. You know, most people you hear, play football, their careers end, it may be due to, blown out ACL or some type of injury along those lines. But this is something unbeknownst to me, and the longer I ignored the pain I was in, the larger the tumor was getting.
Wow. So what were some of the emotions you had to deal with as you were going through this roller coaster ride of ending your sports career and dealing with the diagnosis for cancer? What were some of the emotions you had?
Number one, I'm a Christian, so I kept my faith in God, and that really helped me get through it. I knew that if anybody in my family had to go through, I'm just glad it was me. Seeing I was the oldest of three. My brother played football. He ended up being an actor, six-pack oblique. So I had I have a zipper now, the big scar that goes on my abdomen for the surgery that I had. Wow. I couldn't imagine him getting his six-pack messed up.
Right.
And my sister being the youngest and, my parents. So my whole thing was, I would tell my coaches and my teammates, it was an overpouring of love and support from all the Notre Dame faithful and family and friends, everyone and fans. But what helped me, through it was the faith in God, knowing that he's a healer, knowing by his stripes we are healed. And that's kind of the mindset I had and telling everyone that would be okay. Although, deep down inside, I realized it was a tough battle that I was going to have to face and get through.
Yeah, well, that's phenomenal, man. And, we hear a lot of stories about and know a lot of us who are faith-driven people, how it takes us, our faith to help us get through it. Was there anything else you did to kind of help beyond your faith, help you cope with dealing with the challenge of facing cancer?
Anything else you did? It really kind of helped me. Well, one, like I said, I tried to keep myself busy by taking that course.
Okay.
And I was determined to get back. So for example, May 1995 was a surgery. That fall, after completing I was in the Mayo Clinic for a month, had chemo that summer. That fall, returned back on campus and, my teammates were elated to see me. I thought I was weak and a lot skinnier than I was to even begin with.
Sure.
I was just happy to be back on campus. And I'll never forget, I knew all along football was over, but when it really hit home was, the first home game, the team goes to the locker room at halftime. I stayed on the field. I saw the band perform and had a whole different perspective than when I was actually playing and going to the locker room. And it kind of just hit me all at once that football was over.
Wow.
But May 19th of 96, exactly 1 year later, I graduated on time with my class. So for me, that was a driving force to get through. And to be perfectly honest, everything, people say, the cliche, everything happens for a reason. But, number one, it put a lot of things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to realize what was truly important. And the discipline, not only being a student athlete, pre-med, cancer survivor, It basically was formidable in terms of how I had to deal with the rigors of a surgery residency in my medical profession subsequent to Notre Dame.
And that's absolutely amazing. And you finished up in 5 years and you were going to pre-med. So that is astonishing, man.
Right. Actually, I finished Notre Dame in 4 years.
4 years. That's even better, man. That's even better, brother.
But I went on after that. So I had missed all the exams that you take for, you know, becoming the pre-admission exams like the MCAT, those type of things from medical school. I knew I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, but what happened was after Notre Dame, I spent 2 years at the Mayo Clinic working in different disciplines. I did surgery research, orthopedic surgeries, transplant surgery, vascular surgery. Mm-hmm. And I met an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, and some of the cases that he showed me as far as some of the facial trauma when people are in car accidents or assaulted, being able to reconstruct the whole face. I was enamored by that. So he told me initially, it's a dental profession. So I had to go to dental school first, which I didn't care too much for, but attended Meharry Medical College School of Dentistry in Nashville.
Yes.
Ended up going to Harvard for my oral surgery internship at Massachusetts Hospital. I actually have a cousin there now who's a neurosurgery resident.
Wow.
And then did my residency down in Florida. And I've been in the Charlotte area since January of 2013.
Man, I'm proud to know you, man. It's great to see so many highly intelligent folks out there like yourselves, man. So I really appreciate that.
It
just makes your story that more powerful. So, you know, Dr. Rowe, when you were going through this, were there any mentors or who was there to kind of help guide you through this process, man, when you're going through this challenging time in your life?
Well, I would say number one, it would have been my parents.
Parents, okay.
You know, no one wants to see, you know, no parent wants to see them, you know, lose their child. So,
sure.
You know, my parents, although I knew they were having a very difficult time with it, seeing the strength they drew on from God, seeing how confident they were with everything, that helped me out a great deal. So no one would say my parents and family, close friends, teammates, fans, like I mentioned, just, you know, people I didn't even know, you know, supporting the whole recovery. But I would also say, you know, my coach, Lou Holtz, he was instrumental in terms of, I told him to save my spot. That was more important to get back.
That's right.
And I would just say, you know, just I did a lot of reading, a lot of introspective mental goals to try to just get myself to be positive and optimistic.
Sure.
I knew that I would be back. You know, my ultimate goal was to become a doctor, being a pre-med, also still on the team. My goal was to play football as long as I could, then pursue medicine. It just came a lot faster. And you know, my plan was not God's plan. So God had a different plan.
That's right. And that's the amazing thing about life, man. You know, he turns our whole plans on top of our heads, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, as you were going through this, was there a point when you were going through this cancer piece where you said, I'm not going to let this thing take me out. I'm going to keep fighting and going?
Well, in all honesty, the closer I came to, I guess, not really having fear per se, but I would say the closer I came was when my lung collapsed. The experience of not being able to breathe.
Wow.
Nurse saw me blowing unconscious. I just remember having a difficult time breathing, pushing the button for the nurse, and then having this cool, peaceful feeling. So I don't know if I was transitioning at that time or in the process or what, but I think that really opened up my eyes to how fragile life is.
Yes.
So with that, you know, even to this day, you know, being able to put things in perspective. I mean, obviously we're all human. We all have emotions. But, you know, you have to be able to discern what's truly important. Are you going to hold grudges? Are you going to, you know, hold hatred in your heart? You know, those type of things.
Yes.
You know, I don't, that's not how I operate. So, I mean, I try to surround myself with positive people. I try to lead by example by being a mentor to youth and undeserving youth. For example, I'm on the board of trustees at Livingstone College, HBCU, where I established a scholarship and a mentoring program, part of the 100 Black Men of Charlotte, where I'm also vice president of mentoring, newly appointed, and looking to do some things there. We're allowing students to shadow and, you know, complete internships and things like that to expose them to the medical profession, surgery and being exposed to the hospital and things like that. I'm the first doctor in my immediate family.
Wow.
But although I mentioned, though, the last name Rowe, a lot of us have stories. A lot of us have strong athletic backgrounds, academic backgrounds, and are successful.
Well, that is fantastic, man. You have a lot to be very, very proud of, you know, as well. So, you know, as you were going through this process, thinking back there, what kept you motivated to keep going? What kept you motivated to keep fighting?
I just knew I couldn't quit. You know, I mean, I could have very easily thrown in the towel, you know, from a health standpoint, mm-hmm. went through that, as well as even academic standpoint. I could have said, forget this, you know, woe's me. But that's never been my upbringing. Both my parents are PhDs.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
My dad's side family is from the Bahamas originally, and any role you see is technically originally from the Bahamas, but he moved to me. I was met my mom there. He was the president of St. Paul Urban League, worked in the Department of Human Rights for the state. My mom worked in human resources. So I had two role models to implement from an early age, you know, the no quit mentality. I mean, even at Notre Dame, I was undersized in terms of being skinny, but, you know, I had no fear. I mean, now, Miles just went out there and battle. You can't play the game of football and go out there and timid. So
that's right.
So, you know, I never had that quit mentality, but I always had that determination, perseverance. You know, again, trusting God was the main foundation. Right. And my parents as role models, seeing them firsthand what they had to go through to allow for us to succeed.
Man, your parents sound like some amazing people, man. And again, kudos to both of them PhDs, man. That's very impressive, man. I love hearing stories like that as well. So, you know, as you look back on this situation today, how do you think that situation changed you as a person, though?
Well, I think it changed me for a person, I think for some number of reasons. Number one, I think it helped from the standpoint of being determined to get through some of the challenges in life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you go through something like that, it allowed me to be prepared then for when I had a second bout in 2000.
Wow. So
cancer survivor times two, 95 in 2000.
Wow.
It allowed me to trust God that even though I was told with chemo, it decreases your chance to have children, I'm a father of two daughters, both the name, Eliana and Aaliyah.
That's awesome, brother.
From God, knows when my heart beats.
Wow.
My wife is a disciplinarian and, you know, I can't say no, and they know that. They have to know I'm like, so. They're 9 and 5 and they're my treasure. So it just opened up my eyes to a lot of different things in terms of even my profession. There's probably about 9,000 oral maxillofacial surgeons in the country.
Yes.
Probably about 100, 125 African-Americans. So you're talking about less than 2%.
Yeah.
So even some of the challenges there in terms of getting through the grind of a surgery residency and trauma and those things. So, and now currently being in private practice, you know, a lot of the patients I get come from general dentist referrals, especially from the oral side, the dental side with the wisdom teeth extractions and the dental implants. But even running the business, you go through all this training that I mentioned, Mayo Clinic, Harvard, Meharry, and you learn how to train to take care of patients, take care of them on the surgical side. No business classes, though, are pretty much included in that path.
That's true, yeah.
Not that you didn't have time to even do that. There's so much volume material you have to get to study medicine, surgery. So just learning how to become more business savvy and have that business acumen learning along the way. So I think going through challenges, especially the challenges I had to face, it allowed me to see the good, bad, and indifferent and how to prioritize and you know, keep a sound mind on goals and being very aggressive and tactful and approaching those goals.
Yes, it sounds like fear is not a factor in your life, man. I love it.
Absolutely not.
So, you know, when you look back, would there be anything you would do differently as you were going through that process? Anything you do differently?
Well, I mean, you know, again, there's a human side. So, you know, you do have sometimes those, I don't know what you call them, doubts, but, you know, there was an element of fear. I mean, that's just part of, to some degree. I mean, not to a point where it overwhelmed me, but, you know, the what if, and you know, being a cancer survivor times two, typically when you're in remission, maybe after 10 years, you're in the clear, but by me having it twice, I still get followed.
Sure.
So, you know, trying to make sure I take care of myself and, you know, those type of things are paramount. But I think in terms of what I would change, really, I wouldn't, you know, that was a hand I was dealt and I was able to get through it with God. And, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Man, that's amazing. So, you know, we have a lot of podcast listeners out there who may be facing various crises. It could be cancer, it could be unemployment, it could be It could be just anything. What advice would you give them as they're looking to endure and come out on the other end of the challenge? What advice would you give them right now?
I can't speak for myself. I know everyone, has their own individuality in terms of their faith or beliefs, but I know I trust and believe in God. So number one, that's paramount. Mm-hmm. I would say secondly, setting goals and then following through, not giving up. You're going to be faced with challenges, but the fruit, you have to work through challenges. I mean, if everybody could do what you could do and achieve the goals that you set for yourself, everybody would do it. So there's going to be challenges the higher you go up the totem pole, the more goals and things you try to achieve in life. So just having the fortitude to drive and be disciplined, determined, and seeing the finish at the end, as opposed to getting derailed and not allowing yourself to get back up. I mean, in game of football, you get tackled, but you get back up, you get back in the huddle.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And very well said. So folks out there, if you're going through any challenges, Dr. Roll's story, man, should really just make you inspired, should get you fired up, should give you hope and inspiration to be able to get through those challenges. So it's really good to hear someone who is, not that he's gone through those challenges, but a person who's come out on the other side of those challenges and was achieving academically and athletically as he was doing it in the process as well. So again, kudos to you and your family. So what we're going to do now, Doc, we're going to have some fun. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Let's have some fun.
Let's do it.
The rapid fire section of our show. And I'm going to ask you a number of questions. I'm not going to follow up with the questions at all. I'm just going to ask you a number of questions that are get around purpose and you give us your best answer. So everyone out there, we got a chance to see you overcoming obstacles. We want to know how you're living on purpose right now. Okay.
That's it.
So the first question is, how have you turned your dream into a reality?
By being disciplined. Okay.
What gives your life meaning?
God.
Yes. Love it. If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you be doing with your time?
Mentoring.
Okay. What verb best describes you?
I would probably say determined.
Determined. I like that. Okay. What problem would you solve in the world? Do you want to solve in the world?
Racial injustice.
Okay. Good. Why are you doing what you're currently doing?
Passion.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
More leisure.
Okay. That's always, that can always be helpful, right? what did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
I knew I wanted to be a surgeon at an early age. I just didn't know what type. So I would say I knew I wanted to be a doctor at an early age. So I'd probably be excited at this point that we made it through.
That's awesome. If you had something to teach, what would you teach other people?
I would teach self-confidence, self-worth. Mm.
Who inspires you the most?
My parents. Mm.
What is something about yourself that the listeners would be surprised to learn?
Let's see here. I play the drums.
Play the drums. Okay. All right. Good. What's on your bucket list to do this year?
Bucket list would be to, I want to go to the Summer Olympics. So we'll see if we can.
Okay.
That'll happen this year.
Keep your fingers crossed on that one right there, right? What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Spend time with my daughters.
Okay, good. What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
That I left them a legacy.
If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
I would say super ordinary strength. My brother actually was the Green Power Ranger, so he would probably say so this superpower would be the strength over superpower strength.
Awesome. If I were to walk around your house, what clues would it give me about what you loved?
I would say that you would know that I love Notre Dame.
Okay, good. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I'm a fan of you and Emmett Mosley, though, man. All right.
There we go. Either love or hate, there's no in between. But all my man cave, you definitely know what team I play for.
That's what I'm talking about. What would you go back to school for?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I would probably say, because I love what I do, mm-hmm. I would probably, take something more along the lines of some of the business, entrepreneur type approach, some of it.
I love it. What do you love to learn about?
Just new ideas, philosophy. Okay.
What sparks your creativity?
The innovation of technology would really spark, you know, in terms of surgical advances, being less invasive, those type of things.
Okay. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Well, that's a good one, too. That's a whole other conversation there, but we won't go there during this. But I would say the first law would pass would be affordable health care.
Okay, love it. Yes. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be?
Obama.
Okay, good. What do you love doing for others?
I would say my profession. I love taking care of patients, you know, getting them out of pain and seeing an end result, or in the cosmetic side, getting a nice aesthetic result.
Okay. I like that. Yes. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
Life.
Life. Yes. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
In high school, Marvin Sims, one of my teammates, who's one of your good friends, He won most athletic. I won the award for always smiling. So
I'm gonna have to tell him that he right. missed out.
I think that was foreshadowing to, you know, me being a positive and optimistic through everything I would have to go through.
That's right, and the guy who's making sure that everyone has a great smile out there as well. So that's right. That's awesome. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I would say play football. Even now, even though I'm out of shape, I will get back out there right now.
That's awesome. You know, I can go out. I tell the Panthers I can go out there for about two series. I'm good for two series, man.
Right, exactly.
Football, yeah. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
That's a good one. I think just being there for my younger brother and sister in all aspects, and even to this day.
That's awesome. What does success look like for you?
Success looks like I think it would look like. Result of, I think going back to this, leaving a legacy, that's success for me, you know, leaving a legacy for my daughters and grandchildren and generations to come.
Awesome. The people who know you best, what would they say your purpose in life is?
To help others.
Help others, okay. What are you most grateful for?
My family and friends.
Okay. What has been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
You will face obstacles. You will face challenges, but the race isn't given to the swift, but the one that endures to the end.
That's what I'm talking about. And then last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As a pillar in the community, as an icon amongst professionals in my people in my profession, and a warrior for God.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, everyone, let's give it up for Dr. Richard Roll. Awesome, you made it through, man. Good job, good job.
Appreciate it.
Dr. Roll, as we ready to wrap things up, any other last advice that you want to share with others about resiliency and purpose? What would you want to share? Any last?
Yeah, I think that with those are two powerful words. I think the resiliency, you know, you have to be able to shake it off, you know, bounce back, you know, get up, stand, you know, that'd be the whole mindset there. And just having that determination to achieve.
Yes, that's awesome. Great words of advice. So folks out there, if you're going through challenges or you know someone's going through challenges, be sure to have them tune into our podcast, subscribe to it, Resilient Stories, download this particular episode, give us a review, share with your friends on social media. And remember, today's episode is sponsored by Million Dollar Pathway Stories. Go to our website, tawatson.com. And if you know of other folks out there who have stories of overcoming, and they have, they're doing great things in our society. Go to our website, tawatson.com, and share with us. We would love to have them featured here on the show. We thank you for your time today, everyone. God bless, peace, and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.